into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him. Yeah, no.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
All right, you're welcome along. It's Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you on till 10 o'clock. Hope you're keeping well. 53106 is the text number. We've got a busy show ahead. Further doubts about the viability of the Inter-County Championship. The GPA today saying that they're going to canvass their players about whether they feel comfortable with the Championship going ahead. We are now, what, less than 48 hours away from the Inter-County season returning. We will check in with Billy Joe Padden, with Michael Verney and Kevin Cassidy after 8 o'clock. Leo Varadkar saying within the past hour that Inter-County football will not continue if the country goes to level 5. So a lot happening over the last 24 hours in terms of that. A lot happening in football as well. We'll get further reaction to a frustrating week, to put it mildly, for Stephen Kenny and the Republic of Ireland. John Giles, as always, on the way at 7:30. Noel King is going to join us on the football show. We'll also talk to the young Burnley defender Jimmy Dunn. Wasn't part of the Irish squad, but has been in the Burnley side, made his Premier League debut, scored on his Premier League debut. So we'll get his story in the football show as well. So do get in touch, 53106. Richie McCormack with us as always. Evening, Richie.
Nathan, how are you?
I'm very well. And Joe Malloy is there also. Good evening, Joe.
Good evening, gents. How are we doing?
Are we interrupting something? You okay to do this? Should we get someone else? Seem a little bit distracted there. What are you doing?
No. I'm here. I'm good. Shoot.
Good. Things are moving fast, obviously, in a COVID world, particularly with the inter-county GEA season. There's been any amount of comment on it today. We had Stephan Campbell, the Armagh footballer, saying that it'd be a catastrophe if it didn't proceed, that people have got this far, that supporters, people around the country need something, they need the distraction, that for the players' health, for everybody's health, that this in a way needs to go on, that they're young, fit, healthy players. The GPA say they're going to survey the inter-county players and to see what their feelings are. They're going to ask them, are their county boards implementing the protocols correctly? One of the questions is going to be, which of the following options reflects your opinion for the upcoming 2020 season? One, I want the season to proceed. Two, I only want to play if the implementation of the COVID-19 protocols is improved. Three, I do not want the season to proceed. And then in the last hour or so, Leo Varadkar was on The Last Word and said, if it goes to level 5, the inter-county season isn't going to happen, which I think it goes against what we'd heard from Enfit over the last couple of weeks. So it's hard to keep up, but it does feel, unfortunately, Joe, that this has only gone one way.
It does, yeah. You know, John Heslin caught my eye as well today, Nathan, on Twitter this morning. He said, at what stage does the, quote, inter-county return badly needed in these grim days end? I'm concerned from a health and welfare perspective, both individually, collectively, for those contributing to the inter-county season. I think it is looking increasingly grim. The virus is only going one way in the country. You know, in the hotspots, it's in a really bad place. I mean, last night, the average infection rate per 100,000 is 190, and in Cavan at the moment, it's 571 per 100,000, you know. It's very serious. I think it can't go ahead at level 5. I think that would be reckless. I think that would be a bad look. I don't think it's important enough for it to go ahead at level 5. I think even now, lots and lots of players will feel like John Heslin and feel it's questionable. It's very difficult. But, I mean, and Richie will touch on it in his news round. You see the Wexford situation where six players have tested positive now about across both codes. That's increasingly going to happen. I think we're into the teeth of this second wave now. There's going to be matches forfeited. There will be numerous squads without players. There will be disgruntlement in the community. And, you know, you look at the community at large. I think there is a more conservative atmosphere out there than, you know, the Twitter spats would have you believe. I think most people want to see restrictions in. You know, you listen to Vox Pops. I've listened to them on radio today. I think a lot of people understand this is very serious, understand in many of their worlds it's life and death. They have vulnerable people in their worlds. And I think people have, in the main, no problem with tighter restrictions. So, yeah, I mean, I hope it goes ahead. I guess it would be a lift to many people's spirits. But I've definitely gone in the last 24 hours, particularly after listening to Micheál Martin last night and Leo Varadkar, to thinking this thing is, they're going to have to pull the plug on this relatively soon, I would think.
We have asked the GEA for comment following what Leo Varadkar had to say. There is, and I don't think this is what is driving them, but there is obviously a business side for the GEA as well, even without crowds, in terms of broadcast revenues, in terms of being able to maintain their own employees around the country and in Croke Park, and also in terms of being able to feed cash back to the clubs when eventually, post wave two, we do get back. Like, if it doesn't happen now, when do we get back playing? Like, is it March? Is it April? And you skip the 2020 championship completely? So, and if it starts, does it have to finish? Or do we get 3 weeks into a championship and then we just press pause and resume in March? I don't know, Richie, if this has been considered yet. You'd have to assume it has.
I think it has. And I think we've probably seen a little bit of a vignette of the way of thinking from those on top as regards getting it over the line and getting things done. Because I was thinking at the weekend that the likelihood is that we'll see a championship start, but the way the numbers are going, the way the figures are going, the way the infection numbers are going, that we mightn't see it finish. Now, after looking at what happened last night as regards Fermanagh's case, whereby they've had 10 positive cases, they've had numerous others who were close contacts within that panel. They appealed to the CCCC to have their game this weekend with Clare postponed, and the CCCC denied that. So there seems to be a willingness and a bloody mindedness almost to get the games done and to get through it and to plough through it. And I don't know if that's necessarily the best way forward. There needs to be a bit of common sense about this too. We can't have the infection numbers skyrocketing and games still going ahead. I think Mike Quirk, and I'll touch on it later on in the news round, Mike Quirk was saying that we need to have a more sensible approach as regards neutral venues. Like Laois, for instance, are heading to Westmeath this weekend. They're due to go to Fermanagh the week after. And then in the championship, they'll be in either Glennon Brothers Pierce Park or in Tullamore. So, like, they're jetting here, there and everywhere. I know they're not massive differences, but it makes a hell of a lot of difference for like 30, 40 people to be travelling en masse around to different points of the country just to get a game done, when you could have a bit of common sense about these things and you could be a bit more judicious about where they're being played. Because otherwise we are going to see teams feeling scratch sides or not being able to fulfil matches, and that's just going to become a mess, and nobody really benefits from that at all.
We are unfortunately in a very different place from the summer, Joe, and when the club championship was getting back underway. And there was a sense, I think, then that, yeah, we can't wait for the intercounty championship and that enthusiasm it will bring and a bit of a spark for the country. But when you look at it right now, Kerry are going, I think, driving individually to Monaghan for their league game in Inishkeen. What are they doing this for? Where is the joy? So it was often put forward, well, actually, it's a good thing for these young, fit, healthy 20-year-olds to be going out and doing this, that there's not a huge risk for them. But like, there's no fun in that. There's no fun in going up to Monaghan, probably lashing down rain. Do you get a shower? I think the regulation is you get in before the Monaghan lads for a shower if there's only two dressing rooms there. Hop back in your car, drive 4 hours with no real knowledge whether the championship is going to finish. And even if it does, even if you win, like, can you celebrate it? What can you, like? And I think, like, celebrations have been a huge issue. We know any amount of anecdotal evidence, there's any amount of videos going around on social media from what's happened in the aftermath of county finals. Like, Enda McGinley was on OTBAM this morning and, you know, made a quip, but I don't think he was too far wrong, that, you know, the worst thing that could happen for public health would be that Mayo would win the All-Ireland final. And he's not wrong there.
Yeah, I mean, and that, so Stephen Campbell talking about the joy it gives the players, I agree. I don't see much joy in this situation right now because it feels so tense, you know, and that's where we are again. And take those Kerry players driving up to Monaghan in their cars alone. I mean, are you telling me none of them are going to stop for toilet breaks, go into garages, touch surfaces, have to desanitize, you know, sanitize their hands again, disinfect their hands again? Is that, you know, is Tony Hoolan and Neffitt and government, do they want 30 lads hopping in cars and driving across the country and stopping at different locations? I mean, how can we stand over that at the moment when we can't even visit parents or leave our counties? Like, this thing is out in the community now. contact tracing is not what it should be in this country. So we're not on top of it. And then you say, well, why are the Kerry lads driving up in their cars on their own? And it's because you can't throw 30 lads in a bus together, because there's every chance one of them has it. And then that spreads, and then that's taken back to how many different households. Fergal McGill is on the record as saying they want to finish the championship before the end of this year, but he did say they could stomach going into 2021. I think that's the most likely outcome here. You know, we're sounding quite doomsday. I do think this year's championship, quote unquote, will finish, but I just don't think it will finish this year. As for the finances situation, obviously everybody is struggling. I think if ever there was an organization in this country that could borrow against its future earnings, then the GAA is pretty close to top of that list, and they'll be fine, and they should do that in the short term. I'm obviously not au fait with their accounts exactly, but just in broad terms, you would think they can borrow against future earnings and find a way out of this. But, you know, it's just increasingly not viable.
I do wonder what will happen out of this GPA survey. Like, what percentage means that the GPA go back and say to the GEA, this isn't happening, our players. Yeah. So, like, is 25% enough? Is it 51-49? Like, is that where this is falling down? I don't think they've been clear on that. We'll talk to Michael Verney about it after 8 o'clock. But maybe it is a case of we're taking it as it feels everybody is in life right now, day by day, week by week. We get through maybe the end of the National League. You start playing a few championship games. You get as much of it done as possible. And then you do come back in February.
I think that's the most likely. I think that's what we're looking at. I think we'll have an All-Ireland final in February, March, hopefully.
Hopefully. All right, 53106, let us know what you think if you're an inter-county player. It'll be interesting to see what the reaction to that survey is, because I think, don't think Stephen Campbell is alone either. I think there's lots of players who just want to get out and want to play a little bit of football. Statement in the last couple of minutes from Basketball Ireland, they've confirmed that the National League season has been halted and isn't going to start this coming weekend. That follows on from the government announcement on the tightening of restrictions. So basketball is gone, hockey is gone as well. By the way, the news round, as always, with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. Richie, where are you starting?
We'll start with that team. The Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has warned that there will be no All-Ireland Championships if Level 5 restrictions are imposed. Most of the country, as you know, is at Level 3, with three border counties at Level 4. The Allianz Leagues are due to resume this weekend, but the GPA, as we mentioned, are canvassing members' desire to proceed. Over 1,200 new cases of coronavirus were confirmed today, with three deaths. And it had been mooted that the Championship will be exempt from Level 5 restrictions. But speaking on the last word, the Taoiseach said inter-county action is okay to resume for now.
I do think it's feasible, you know, for inter-county elite sports to continue. And, you know, we'll see international competitions, for example, continue. And I wouldn't like to see Irish teams or Irish athletes having to pull out of international competitions. But it is difficult for the GAA in particular, because they're amateur athletes. You know, they can't be bubbled and cocooned in a way that, you know, Premiership players can be, or even provincial rugby players can be. But it can be done. It obviously has to be done with no spectators.
But is it actually ultimately a decision for the GAA to make?
At the current levels it is, yeah. At level 5 it wouldn't be.
And even if we got to level 5, would that mean no championship?
It would.
Now, that, not for the first time with Leo Varadkar, is going against what was previously said, which was from Neffet just, a few weeks ago, where they said that an exception will be made for the inter-county championship, even if we went to level 5. Maybe those conversations have been had, maybe the head honchos in Croke Park were aware that this was coming, but it may well be coming as a surprise to them, so we'll try and get some sort of a reaction to that. It is a fair point he makes on the amateur side of things, that even the professional bubble has been well and truly burst at this stage. Look at Liverpool. Can afford everything you could possibly afford to try and protect their players, and still they've had an outbreak within the club. So it feels for young people impossible to stop if they're leaving their house at all, unless, and GAA players cannot, as we've heard from any amount of them, they're teachers, they're out in the community, they're doctors, and even the team doctors, like, they are out in the community. There's no way of keeping them in a bubble. So, yeah, let's wait and see what happens. We'll chat more about that after 8 o'clock. What else have you got for us, Richie?
Yeah, just to bring everybody's mood fully up to speed on this one, the CEO of the HSE, Paul Reid, said this evening that teams must also show leadership in adhering to public health guidelines.
But there's a personal responsibility on every single person involved in those clubs. There's a personal responsibility on the leadership of those clubs to comply with the public health measures. If people are congregating, if people are in a team huddle, it's transmitting massively. We've seen cases of team huddles and massive positive cases emerging amongst the team. So that makes a difference. Just keep your distance, comply with the rules.
Yeah, team huddles. As we had a week of COVID issues around the Republic of Ireland team, and I know I've brought it up a few times, various different things that have gone on, but at the Aviva on Sunday, the referee blows his whistle, Wales and the Republic of Ireland break off into their two groups, and both of them get into a huddle. You're thinking, yeah. Really? This one time? Is it that important? Could you not just skip it for once?
Yeah, these habits are hard to break, though, and people, when they're in those environments, quickly revert to the habits of a lifetime. Yeah, I really hope we don't go to level 5, obviously, and here's hoping we don't. So let's presuppose for a second we don't go to level 5 and level 3 and level 4 restrictions have an effect. Then the ball is in the GAA's court. It's a really difficult decision for them, Nathan. I mean, at the outset, John Horan spoke on RTE and said, you know, we won't be proceeding as long as there's social distancing, you know, and obviously we come to know more about the virus, and GAA has proceeded and been very successful in the summer. But, you know, the GAA were very conservative at the beginning, and then they put an end to club celebrations and club matches on the back of those celebrations not so long ago, and generally applauded for doing so. I mean, if every sport around them is closing shop, you mentioned basketball and different sports like that, I suspect the GAA themselves will pull down the shutters on this one.
Yeah, quite possibly. And it hasn't been a good couple of weeks for the GAA out of John Horan's hands, out of everybody's hands, because we've had county finals, we've had celebrations, we've seen any amount of video of what has gone on, that away from even what's happening on the pitch and in the stands, it is bringing people together in a way that is unhelpful for the cause that is meant to be uniting the country. So they can't control that. And anything that may exasperate the situation, they're going to have to take account of. So it's a very, very difficult situation. But and also, like, the scrutiny these players are going to be under now at the weekend regarding huddles, regarding every little thing. If there's a player spitting, every game is going to be televised. It's going to be a difficult old situation for everybody. We've got a lot of texts coming in on this. Why not do the NBA bubble for GAA championships? Well, I had a quick Google there, and they estimate the NBA bubble cost $150 million. So I don't know if that is maybe the way the GAA are going to go, even for our entertainment. There's enough rooms in Croke Park. Lock them all in there for a month. Get the championship done. Away we go. Lads, there's a canvassing by the GPA of players and not smack of arrogance. I want to play football, therefore I should be allowed to travel all over the country, but you can't. The GAA need to stop everything now, all games, all training at every level, and they should do it before they're instructed to do so. There are so many clubs at so many levels breaking so many laws.
Well, that's like again, we talk about the GAA as if it's just this massive inter-county behemoth, which we'll see, you know, Dublin, Mayo and Kerry at the sharp end of an All-Ireland Football Championship. We forget that we're talking about, you know, under 7 and under 8 kids here playing on Saturday mornings, talking about, you know, teenagers and people in their 20s playing a bit of Junior B as well. Like, this is ingrained in society, and you're asking, like, absolutely everything to call to a halt. There's a lot more involved. Like, it takes a lot for an 18-wheel truck to come to a sudden halt, and I think the GAA is the exact same in that aspect.
Yeah, you're dead right. I know from my kids, the highlight of the week is their football on Friday and their GAA on a Saturday morning, and they sort of feel they got through the hard times in lockdown, and to put a stall to it all again with the weather like this when they can't get outside the door for days on end is a pretty grim thought for everybody.
And they're even frustrated. Like, I know yours is probably the same as mine. Like, you can't really play games. The kids aren't really playing games against other teams at the moment. So they're stuck doing these training sessions that they're trying to make as fun and safe for everybody. And they're just like, they're just almost running in circles because there's nothing much you can do beyond week 3 and 4 of not playing other teams. So it's trying to keep everybody interested. And
well, maybe in your club, Richie, I'll tell you, we have some innovative, innovative tactical setups for our coaching. We're really taking advantage of this situation, both in the soccer and the GAA, to bring the best out of them. By the time we go back playing other opposition, they won't know what hit them. I'm not giving away any secrets, but
they're the exact same in White. They're exact same in Whitehall, yeah. But, like, you know yourself, it's hard to keep their interest when.
Oh, we just spend our entire 20 minutes going, stop jumping on each other, non-contact, stop jumping on each other.
Stop. Can you stop flossing for a minute and just concentrate?
Yeah, dear God. What else you got for us?
We'll continue the fine, happy theme. Six Wexford inter-county players testing positive for COVID-19. Four of those come from the football panel, and those players will miss this weekend's Division 4 trip to Limerick. Two members of Davy Fitzgerald's hurling squad have also tested positive. While Laois football manager Mike Quirk says it will be sensible for inter-county matches to be played at neutral venues, the Armagh County face trips to Mullingar and Fermanagh over the next fortnight, and Quirk says the introduction of neutral venues would reduce the burden on teams potentially visiting hotspot counties for COVID-19. Quirk made the call on Twitter shortly after the Leinster Championship venues and throw-in times were announced. Dublin will begin their championship campaign in Port Laois on Saturday, November 7th. They'll face Westmeath. Before that, on Sunday, November 1st, there'll be three preliminary round matches, with Wexford taking on Wicklow, Offaly hosting Carlow, and Louth up against Longford at Cusick Park and Mullingar. And the Leinster final is scheduled for Croke Park on November the 21st. And Shamrock Rovers today confirming that Aaron Green tested positive for COVID-19. They've also revealed that Jack Byrne was among those to test positive while on Republic of Ireland duty. That positive test came on Sunday, they say. The midfielder was absent from the squad that travelled to Helsinki for yesterday's 1-0 Nations League defeat to Finland. Several other players, Rovers say, are also isolating, having been deemed close contact of Green's, and Rovers are due to welcome Derry City to Tallaght Stadium tomorrow night in what could well decide the title, but they say they've handed that over to the FAI to make a judgment call on their remaining fixtures.
Just to let you know that marking the conclusion of 20 by 20 and celebrating a transformative two-year movement for women in sport, you're invited to a virtual event at midday on Wednesday, October 21st. You can join legends of Irish and international sport, Martina Navratilova, Ada Hegerberg, Rachel Blackmore, Brian O'Driscoll, Sonia O'Sullivan, and many more as we discuss and debate what the future we want for women in sport in Ireland. Check out Think It, Ask It hashtag our 20 by 20 social media channels for details on how to register. OTB Sports is a proud partner and supporter of 20 by 20. Mike Quirk makes an interesting point there, Joe. I don't know how practical it is of playing almost all the games in maybe not one venue, but maybe four venues around the country, and you put all your investment into that in terms of as many protocols and as much safety as you can provide. But it does seem as though a lot of these smaller provincial venues are going to end up getting games.
It's a very decent idea. I mean, the reason against it in normal times would be fans, and you can't just change things willy-nilly fans. So without that, you have a bit more flexibility. So yeah, it's absolutely an idea worth thinking about if they can make certain venues more safe. You know, I haven't heard the GAA mention that before. But yeah, it's worth thinking about. But even like, you know, it's interesting, Richie's saying there are four Wexford footballers positive and they've a match this weekend. How many players will have to test positive in a bit before, you know, Wexford's big championship game before they think, oh, we deserve a postponement or we'll apply for a postponement? Like, even that's an issue. And, you know, how many first team players do you have to be missing before you have to say, oh, well, this is not worth going ahead with?
And does that change as the championship goes on and we get into the real nitty-gritty of it and you get to an All-Ireland semi-final and Dublin are missing four crucial players? Like, yeah, is there, as you say, a set number from day one and we all abide by that?
I don't know. And then let's be honest, some players are more important than other players. You know, it's the brutal reality as well.
Who are you accepting testing positive? He's grand. Let's move on. We'll play the game. Jesus, it's sick. It's Hunger Game sort of stuff at this stage.
Offaly Camogie today confirmed that a member of their management tested positive for coronavirus. They forfeited Saturday's championship group game with Cork as a result. Offaly say several members of their squad are also isolating as a result of unrelated cases, and I guess that's something else we have to think about, the cases in the community that are picking up on these sides. Cork's dual players meanwhile have avoided a fixture clash. The Galway Camogie board has agreed to change the date of their All-Ireland championship group fixture with Cork from the 7th to the 8th of November. Strike action from the Cork players had been mooted over the fixture clashes. Ian Henderson is going to miss Ireland's remaining two games in the Six Nations. The Ulster lock has been banned for 3 weeks as the result of the red card he received in the Pro 14 win away to the Ospreys last weekend. Henderson was originally handed a 6-week suspension but saw that halved due to his previous good record. He'll be available again in time for the first Autumn Nations Cup game with Wales in mid-November.
Jesus, global pandemic and the GAA feel it's necessary to finish out a tournament. What is more important, says Cahill in Dublin. Look, I'm sure the GAA would love to say, lads, let's just forget about it and come back next March. But there's bigger things at play here in terms of the money side of it. We'd all like to say, let's just pack it in until next March. Let's just hibernate for the winter. Unfortunately, it's not the case. So I don't think it is a situation of the GAA or stamping their feet saying, global pandemic, to hell with the health system, we're going ahead with this. That is not the case. There's a lot of different moving parts in all of this. Have you any good news for us, Richie?
I was just going to say, I think as well, we have to give the GAA some time. So there was an address to the nation last night, you know, and it was very serious. And I think it's straightened everybody's backs a little bit, and we're suddenly eyeing the reality of what's coming over the next couple of weeks, probably. You know, that was just last night. I think if you're going to call off the championship or make alternative arrangements, let's give them a day or two, to be fair. You know, they're probably having conversations all day today and checking the viability of different things. There was no way they were going to come out this morning and make a seismic decision like that, to be fair to them. Like, it's so difficult. It's so tricky for them.
Yeah, I did a very, I don't know if it's a sensible thing. I muted pretty much everybody who likes to report those figures every day. And I also managed to miss the 9 o'clock news last night. So I didn't realize it was such a seismic event until everybody was talking about it today. And until I had to inform the 7-year-old that his play date can no longer happen, despite the fact he sits beside the kid all day at school.
I'll tell you what, though, yeah. Neil Tracy had the right idea. Neil Tracy tweeted it this morning or last night. He muted the terms, "can we not" and "but we can," or along those lines, or "can I not" and "but I can."
Well.
So those, you know, what ifs and what abouteries are kind of gone from his Twitter feed, and he's probably the better for it.
There's golf, though, Richie. They won't cancel the Masters, will they?
No. I give them a couple of weeks, Nathan.
Cancel the Masters.
Padraig Harrington has a share of third after the opening day of the Scottish Championship. He shot a 6-under par round of 66 this afternoon, and he's 4 adrift of the leader, Spain's Adrian Ategui. Jonathan Caldwell shot a 2-under par round of 70, while Gavin Moynihan is in the clubhouse on level par. Cormac Sharvin finished up the day on 2-over par. CJ Cup is underway as well in Las Vegas. Rory McIlroy is level par through his first two holes. Shane Lowry goes out in the next 20 minutes. And that man in form, Tyrrell Hatton, heads the leaderboard. Pretty early doors there, though, it must be said. He is 4-under par through his first three holes, and he is a shot clear of the American Taylor Gooch.
Is he wearing a hoodie? Do we know, is he wearing a hoodie? I presume he's
supposed to be wearing a hoodie.
Were you not reading about this, Richie? This was a big controversy in golf. Did you not listen to Golf Weekly? We must have spent a good 5 minutes talking about this. So Tyrrell Hatton, who won the BMW Championship, the flagship event of the European Tour at Wentworth last weekend, was wearing a hoodie. And this has provoked much controversy.
Why? Did you see any of the French Open golf, or not golf, sorry, French Open tennis there the last fortnight? The amount of people who were wearing layers, which is something I hadn't seen since the days of God Fred Perry, who would be wearing a V-neck over his T-shirt or his shirt or whatever. Like, they were back to wearing layers because they're a bit parky out on court. And I imagine it's probably the same for them playing into mid-October as we are now, and still in Northern Europe. They can't really go further south at the moment. They're locked in that kind of swing through the UK mostly.
And did they have deep introspection in tennis as to what it means to the sport that they're wearing layers like they have in golf? Golf clubs in England have been putting up signs saying, just because he wears one, you can't wear one.
Well, that's golf for you. That's golf. Like even Nadal was talking about how the ball was playing differently because it was chillier than what he's used to. So I'd imagine golf is probably susceptible to the same problems spherically as they are clothily, if that's a word.
It's not.
Sartorially, there you go. That's sort of it.
Golf Weekly's up now. We recorded earlier on, myself, Joe, Fionn and Peter. I'll be honest with you, Richie, I know you've come on to our side and you listen in every Thursday now, and you feel like you're one of the friends of the pod. I get that sense.
Don't call them that.
This one I'm not sure is for you. It's a proper nerd fest. At one stage, okay, Fionn Davenport spoke for 20 minutes uninterrupted on the new world golf handicap system.
Oh God. Have I ever spoken about that friends of the pod term and how that freaked me out one night? When we were all out on some staff night out, and somebody nodded towards, I think it was one of you, I think it was Joe, and goes, "Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm a friend of the pod." And it was like that bit in Fight Club where somebody nods at Tyler Durden in a certain way as if to say that they know about Fight Club and that they're kind of in on the secret when they're out and about in the world. And it was just really just odd and unsettling.
Do you want to know the greatest moment of my life? And you know, I love dropping names. This is as close as I'm going to get.
Go on.
The final day of the Open Championship. Portrush, I'm walking down the first fairway behind Shane Lowry, and somebody shouts out, "Friend of the pod," and I thought, this is as good as it's ever going to get. And I wasn't wrong, as it turns out. That was as good as my life is ever going to get.
You tell me some of your DJing stories from Galway Bay FM, where the
best of your life is ever not for get. That's post watershed.
Sorry, go on, tell us, Richie.
Post watershed. What else you got? Anything else, Richie? Something positive? Come on.
I'm trying to scroll through. It's all Wenger talking about Project Restart beyond this, and Ronnie O'Sullivan going out of the snooker. But the darts reaches its Premier League finale tonight. Can I mention that? A pair of Anglo-Scottish semi-finals. Glenn Durrant's up against Gary Anderson first, and then the world champion Peter Wright faces Nathan Aspinall. The final will follow those two matches. And as I mentioned, Arsene Wenger talking about Project Restart today. The EFL looks like they're set to reject the bailout on offer from the Premier League. Arsene Wenger says he fears for the future of English football unless more money is given to the lower leagues by the top flight. Premier League clubs, as we know, unanimously voted against Project Restart, or Big Picture, sorry, yesterday, plans that are agreed to restructure the game. The former Arsenal boss believes there are too many professional teams in England.
What do I want to see is to respect the basis of a competition. That means based on sport merit. And after that, certainly you have to restructure a little bit the whole game, the whole English game, because to me, it looks that you have 92 clubs, professional clubs, and that is too many clubs at the moment to survive in England. Why? For one simple reason. Today, the modern supporter supports his national team, he supports a big club, and he supports his local team. But the local supporters shrink, and the smaller clubs in the country have more problems to survive. Maybe you have to reduce the number of professional clubs because there's not enough income anymore for them. And maybe the second decision is to share a bit better what is coming into the elite with the other clubs.
Yeah, Arsene Wenger obviously doing the rounds at the moment, and a lot to say on that. We'll be covering that over the next couple of weeks. Richie, thank you as always.
Debbie Downer of a news round, and I apologise for it.
All right, it's okay, Richie. Joe, thank you. You can get back to whatever you were doing half an hour ago. Thanks for that. Thanks for taking a break. 53106 is the text number. So after 8 o'clock, we're going to get the latest on what is going to happen potentially with the intercounty season. Billy Joe Padden, Kevin Cassidy and Michael Verney will talk us through that. On the football show, we'll hear from the Burnley centre-back Jimmy Dunn. We'll also talk to Noel King about what's been going on with the Republic of Ireland and a frustrating week for Stephen Kenny. We'll also be talking about that in just a moment with John Giles.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.